This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, welcome everybody to another edition of the Ticket City Podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, joined today by the entire Orange Bloods ensemble. Glad to have everybody together. Alex Onwar, Dustin, Jason, and myself talking some Texas football. And fellas, you know, the last few podcasts, by the way, it's just good to be back and not have my mouth slash jaw.
Yeah,
slash
welcome back.
Infected area of my face. I did look like the guy from Van Wilder with that alien thing about to pop out of his face. Like, that's who I've felt like for. But the swelling is mostly down. Tomorrow I go in and get fully addressed. But yes, it does feel good to be somewhat back to normal. Thank you for the kind sentiment, Dustin. Last month of podcasts, I think we've gone out of our way to focus on very football specific stuff. You know, players that we would buy stock in and what has to happen for this team to go 11-1. It feels like there's a lot of news in the air this week related specifically to what's about to happen to, I don't know, a football season that I think we're like 59, 58 days away from the start of the college football season on paper. Like, this thing's right around the corner. We are less than a month from when the team would be reporting for practices. So it would feel very naive. We can get into some football hardcore discussion, I suppose, in a little bit. But like yesterday, the Ivy League cancels fall football, fall sports. And they didn't really specifically say that they would do them in the spring. They just said, as of now, fall sports are over with. We'll, I guess, reevaluate. It's tough to know what the Ivy League means in the context of Power Five athletics because there's so much more money on the table. And I doubt the SEC doesn't have a season because the Ivy League has an opinion. But it is the first league to make that type of big picture decision to say no. Yesterday, Ohio State stalls, or I guess suspends activities for seven different sports because of, I think, over three dozen positive tests among seven sports. So they hit the pause button on the resumption of activities on their school campus amongst those programs for a couple of weeks. And then Stanford cuts 11 programs. And granted, they had like 36 or 37 going into yesterday. So cutting synchronized swimming and men's volleyball and some of the sports that they cut might seem like a paper cut to some because Texas doesn't, I think, come close to that level of overall number of programs that a Stanford has, and not even now. But a lot of stuff's happened, and I want to start off with going to Onwar. I kind of just want to go around the room. Where everybody's head's at. It's been a while since I've asked that question. Where's your head at? Where's your confidence level at on a 1 to 10 scale that in September, under some sort of circumstances that will clearly be different than the circumstances of which we've seen previous seasons begin and take place in, like where everybody's head's in. Onwar, you are our football leader. You are on the ground. If there are road games, presumably you would be the one going to those. So, like, I want to start with you on a 1 to 10 scale. Where's your confidence level at that we're going to have a season beginning in September? And, like, read the room for me as you see it.
Well, my personal thing, I'll probably take the easy way out and say I'm at a 5 at this moment. I think I was a little bit more optimistic, you know, probably a month or so ago. And obviously the last few weeks have probably been a little bit more pessimistic, a little bit more knocking me down as far as the confidence level is concerned. You know, there's a couple of factors, and clearly just you can't ignore that. There is a financial issue at play as far as sports are concerned, but but more so this, like, Ketch, what I don't understand is how do you cancel or postpone football per se, but then you would still have students on campus, right? I don't, where I kind of get stuck is how do you say, it's safe enough for students to come back and what, 40,000 UT students, but then unsafe enough to have extracurricular activities. And I get that you could probably social distance better in a classroom, more so than you can in a football stadium, but it seems like you can't have one without the other in either shape or either form. So, you know, I know you got more people to get to. The only thing I'll say, and I think Dustin would fully understand this because this goes into his wheelhouse a lot. The Ivy Leagues were also the first leagues to cancel the conference basketball tournaments. And they were the first. They were out ahead of everybody. And then eventually the conference basketball tournaments got canceled. And we know that UT was only minutes away from, you know, from their game before it happened. So while it may be easy to discount it and say, well, it's the Ivy League and they don't necessarily need the money per se and all these other type of things, it is something that you just got to take a marker, because people eventually followed suit for what they were doing. And it may or may not happen. And there's a bigger conversation to be had about what spring football looks like and if it gets moved there. And I've talked to some people in the building about it, but I'll probably just start off at a five and let everybody else jump in.
Anybody want to jump in?
I'll jump in. Just unmute myself. Sorry. Anwar, I don't think I'm even quite at a five. I guess if you're asking me, will they have some kind of football starting in September with no fans? Maybe I'd put that as a five, but man, my confidence meter is going. I was talking to my neighbor about this yesterday. They're big football fans, and I'm just the bearer of bad news, I feel like. But I don't know, man. I have serious doubts about the season starting on time, about us having a football season this fall at all. I mean, if they do, I don't think there's any way fans are in the stands. Or what was it? Was the Baltimore Ravens announced like what, 14,000 people would be allowed?
Yeah, I think it was like 15% or something.
Yeah, to me, and listen, that to me, I was like, that makes sense. I said it way the hell back when. I mean, this whole 50% stuff, do the math, man. If you're social distancing, 50% puts you about 2 feet away from the person closest to you. That's just ridiculous.
Del Conte was saying 100%.
That's just stupid. Anybody
yeah, at that one point, Del Conte was not. He was,
I know what he's saying, but I'm to the point, like, I'm not believing. All due respect to Del Conte, I'm not believing anything. That's just politician speak to me, because that's just ridiculous. There's no way they're doing 100%. There's no way they're doing 50%. So my answer to the question is five. I'd put it at a five that they're doing football at all in September. If you're asking me football with fans, I'm at like a two or a three, man. My confidence this week is really shaken. You know, I kind of was talking to y'all yesterday about our kids going back to school. Leander School District had this big presentation yesterday. It's all just smoke and mirrors and wishful thinking. It's just not going to work. Maybe I'm the ultimate pessimist here, but I don't see a scenario where having fans in the stands works. Hell, I don't see a scenario where having all of our kids go back to school in classroom learning works. I mean, at some point, common sense has to come into play. We've been holding on to hope. We're in mid-July almost, so we're talking less than a month before players start potentially reporting for practices. It's not happening, man. This shit's going to blow up, dollar jar, whatever. This stuff's going to blow up again if they try to force this issue. And my confidence level is very low. I'd put it at less than 5%.
Hey, Ketch, just for some clarity, for the conversation that we're having, and I'll have this in the war room.
I said, I'm sorry, Almer, less than 5%. I put it less than 5. Sorry, Almer, go ahead.
Okay, no. Just for clarity in the conversation we're having, players report back to campus for mandatory workouts on July 13th, so this upcoming Monday. So I know we're talking to August and training camp. They actually come back and start working out on Monday.
Listen, I mean, I think so much of this relies on common sense, okay? They opened up the state of Texas, restaurants, bars, and things. The numbers are spiking. And now they're talking about shutting things down again, okay, right? What's going to happen when they open up universities and elementaries and high schools? Man, you think it spiked when they opened up restaurants and bars. What's going to happen when they open up schools? I mean, I just don't see a scenario where this works long term unless they quarantine the team and basically don't allow fans. I just don't see a scenario where it works, man. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the ultimate pessimist, but I just don't see a scenario where it works without a major spike in these cases again.
I think real quick, Alex, Dustin, because I want everybody to go on the record, and then it can be kind of a free-for-all of discussion, because I have some thoughts on things that have already been said, but I don't want us to go down the tunnels and then not be able to circle back to like kind of where we started. Both of you, whoever wants to jump in, just want to get your confidence numbers, 1 to 10 right now, that football starts as scheduled in September.
Yeah, I'm probably at a 4 because I think it's a little more likely right now that it's delayed than not. And this is, you know, this is something I wrote yesterday. If you think back to basically a month ago or a month and a half ago, I remember Del Conte spoke on a Zoom thing with the Austin Headliners Club. And of course he's asked about the season and whatnot. And back then the conversation was purely how many fans were going to be at games in September. It wasn't a matter of whether there was going to be a season in the fall or not. And fast forward just a month or month and a half, and now suddenly the conversation again is whether there's going to actually be a season kickoff in the fall. I just saw Brett McMurphy tweeted out something this morning that nearly 3/4 of the FBS ADs believe football season will be delayed. And this is a big change from a lot of the conversation that was a month ago or even 2 months ago. It's a fair point about the students, which Anwar brought up. It would look really weird if you bring back all of these students on campus and you're saying, okay, we can have in-person curriculum or distance curriculum or whatever, which that's fine. You can better manage that situation, but you can't manage what happens outside of the classroom when you bring back all those thousands of people back to campus in the surrounding areas. It just would look weird if you have that going on and then you don't have extracurricular activities or football or volleyball or anything like that. Like, what about are you going to have volleyball and not football? You know, because there's just fewer participants on that team and you can kind of, you know, there's fewer people you got to test. There's so many hurdles. But, you know, the Ivy League was kind of the first shoe to drop. I think a lot of this might depend on what the SEC decides to do, because I have a hard time envisioning, you know, the SEC coming out and saying, hey, we're playing in the fall, and then all of these other conferences saying they're not. So I think there's a lot of administrators and athletic directors looking around the country right now just waiting for somebody to make the first move. And the Ivy League did, although it's different. You know, it's not one of those major football conferences. It doesn't need football as much as those other leagues. But I think a lot of people are kind of looking around and waiting for somebody to make a move. But yeah, I'm at a 4 today. And I think if you would have asked me at the beginning of June or even mid-May, I would have said that I'm at like a 9, that they're going to play football in the fall. It was just trending that way. But there's just so much – there's just a lack of clarity about so many things related to this virus right now. And it's just created a big question mark about whether – as we near the football season, whether you can have 85 scholarship players and all the support staff and all the coaches and all these people together without having positive tests or having to shut things down. You know, if they could get to a point that they could have a Premier League type situation where you get everybody to a negative and then you just are able to quarantine them and keep them at a negative or depend on them to do their job and stay away from things. Yeah, that can make it work, but I just have a lack of confidence that we're going to be able to reach that point with a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old kids, and especially if you're bringing back all these students on campus, it's just going to lead to more potential exposure situations.
Alex, real quick, what you got?
Well, I'd start off by saying I'm not a virologist, an epidemiologist, a scientist, or anybody who has any better opinion on this than the next guy, like, because apparently every single goddamn one of us these days would have a PhD in fucking virology. But I will say this, I'm more confident than the rest of you guys. When we say football, we're talking college football here, right? So we keep talking about, you know,
correct. Jesus,
football is back.
Football is not in our eyesight.
Say probably a six and a half or a 7. That we get it. I've always said it'll be with no fans, but I think a lot of it'll depend on how. Look, man. I mean, not to go like off, but I think a lot of it will depend on the continuing depiction from the media and how the media frame this thing and how the people who listen to mainstream media take in what it is that they're saying. We all know that they need the eyeballs. They have a good reason to frame things in certain ways that draws people in or makes them click or keeps them watching the television. And I think that even if people say we're relying on the science or we're looking at the numbers or we're looking at the actual, you know, the actual numbers for this, you know, second spike, I think a lot of it is still shaped by the national conversation. The national conversation is dominated by the narratives that are in the media. And so I think a lot of it will depend on how the media coverage, I mean, as sad and as scary as that is, I think a lot of it will depend on how the media coverage goes. And I am worried that the media coverage will continue to be exceedingly negative about this. So that's what makes me a little bit more, you know, a little bit more down in my chances than I was before.
But well, we're not going to talk about any of that, Alex. We're going to circle back around to some of the other elements of this. And I think that one of the things that's screaming out right now is that there's just a lack of leadership. Right. Like, I mean, that's one of the things that the NCAA is really struggling with right now. And so you've got all of these conferences. You know, it's funny. Do you guys remember when we did the podcast? I want to say it happened on a Thursday, and I read, like, it happened, I think, as we were recording in the Dallas Morning News. I want to say Chuck Carlton had the report that the Big 12 had formed this committee in early June, and it was comprised of five different school presidents, but Texas wasn't on the list. And it makes sense. They're going through the changing of a guard at school president, but Oklahoma was on the list, and it was like four other things. And the next time I mute myself, I will pull that article up. But what the Dallas Morning News had reported, I want to say first couple of days of June, was the Big 12 was putting together this five president committee that was going to research everything, pay attention to the trends, watch what other smart people are doing. They were going to come up with a plan. And part of coming up with the plan was to have an answer for every question that was asked once something was announced, right? So, hey, we hope to have plans. And then there's, we hope to have fans in the stands. And there's like 1,000 questions about how you pull that off. And they were going to have all of the answers to all of those questions. And the announcement in the Dallas Morning News at the time was that they were going to release their findings and a plan for the entire league moving forward by the end of June. But today's July 9th. And other than that Dallas Morning News report from early June, I don't remember anybody from the Big 12 mentioning this. I haven't heard that the Big 12 is scheduling a meeting or a teleconference or a Zoom call. Nothing. Like, there's been no follow-up on this. And none of its leaders are suggesting that there's a plan, that, hey, no fear, smart guys are in charge, and we have something for you soon. We don't know what the Pac-12 is doing. We don't know what the Big Ten is doing. I think Dustin's point about the SEC is a good one. I spoke to a very high-level Texas administrator this week, and that person reached out to me to ask my opinion about the report that there wouldn't be any fans at the Cotton Bowl for the Texas OU game, or the state fair had been closed. And I was like, well, I guess my thought is duh, right? Like, I've always thought, if you'd asked me at any point in the last 3 months, will there be a state fair in 2020? I would just tell you that it's the last place in the world I want to be. But I could still see a game taking place with empty fairgrounds. I've gotten desensitized to there being no fans in the stands. Like, as a soccer watcher, I'm there. And I kind of get the feeling that by the time we watch some NBA games in July and mix in some Major League Baseball, like, we'll get to a football season. And by the time we get there, we're going to be used to there not being fans in the stands. It's not going to be what we want. But we got to stop looking at this through the prism of, like, what we're used to. And we got to look at it through the prism of, like, what's most doable and survivable. Like, what keeps everybody alive? And there not being any leadership, like, Texas has no leadership on this, from what I can see. There was a meeting last week between Del Conte and people from the Houston area. And these were incredibly influential Houston area people. These were the heavy hitters in Houston. And they got no answers from Del Conte. And Del Conte was still giving them the, we're going to have all the fans in the stands. And if you've got season tickets, you're going to be there. And these really smart people were like, yeah, okay, well, we've got some questions about what you're saying. And when they asked their questions, they didn't get answers. And from what I heard, like that meeting ended with some people kind of pissed off that like there were no answers. And those people showed up wanting to believe that there was going to be football in the fall. They heard nothing that would prove that there's a plan. And the NCAA, Anwar, they're shaky legs on everything else in the world, right? Like, if there's an investigation, they drag their feet. They don't have enough investigators. Nobody trusts them. There's just one thing after another with regards to the NCAA. Well, now, in this moment of dire need for leadership, nobody's actually turning to the NCAA. I have not heard one person say, you know what, we need the NCAA to get involved. But really, that's what's needed. There's never been a more dire need for some real leadership in the NCAA than for someone to say, follow me on this. I will be the face of discussing this and the decision-making on this. Dustin, you mentioned the SEC. That was the other thing this administrator mentioned. And Jason, I think you mentioned it too. The SEC is going to play football. And I had someone mention to me this week that if the SEC plays football for recruiting purposes, that Texas has to play football. That there can't be a world where the SEC is officially declaring that football matters more than another league. Like, they just have to figure it out. They're viewing this from a really, you can go ahead and find me on this one. They're viewing this through a fucked up prism. Like, oh, it's going to hurt recruiting if they have a season and we don't. But like, that's how they view it. And I think that, and this was high up. This wasn't like Johnny Orangeblood. This was like a decision maker. And they're viewing this through, what's the SEC going to do? I think Pat Forty hit on it earlier today in a column that he did. I think we're headed towards a college – and Dustin, I think you touched on it. This is going to be a delayed college football season. They're going to scrap non-conference. I think we're going to see every league in America play – I think you'll see some leagues play a 10-league schedule. You may see the Big 12 play a 9-game schedule. Everybody's going to play their league schedule. And – I think that there'll be maybe even an extended playoffs coming out of this, that maybe you won't in a special year where there are mitigating circumstances, that maybe that would even impact how the playoff works, so that maybe instead of four teams, you'd have eight teams, so that nobody gets screwed in a playoff situation out of this.
And more people get money.
Yeah. And can recover some of the money that is otherwise going to be lost. So I think that, I could still see us starting in September, end of September, 9-game schedule for the Longhorns, everything that is scheduled to take place, you know, between end of September through the end of the season stays, non-conference games go, and I think that that could be part of what eventually emerges as a plan, but it may be that the SEC has to announce it first.
No, I agree. If they're the first domino to fall, or however you want to phrase it, just imagine our message board. If the SEC comes out and says, hey, we're going, you know, if we have to adapt our schedule on the fly, so be it, but we're kicking off at some point in September. And then the Big 12 says, well, we're not sure. We might look into doing a February or March type thing. I mean, there'd just be such a uprising. I can't, as sad as it is in some ways, I can't envision a college football where the SEC is going to go forward with this and all these other big time conferences are not. And with the NFL going, I mean, because you know the NFL is going to play. And just, I don't know. I have a hard time envisioning that as as shaky as the foundation is of everything right now with this virus. But if they're the first one to stick their neck out there and say, hey, we're playing, then I think a lot of people are going to follow that. But your point about the leadership is good catch, because it's almost like the NCAA was just like, okay, all you conferences figure this out on your own, and you don't have a collection of all those conferences coming together to try to come up with a collective solution that can everybody can agree on. It's kind of every man for themselves right now. And I'm sure those administrators are and presidents are talking to each other, but that's not the same thing as just getting together and saying, hey, we've got to sit down and really have a discussion and figure out how to go about this collectively. And until that happens, it's, you know, it might just be a lot of people looking around and waiting for somebody to make the first move.
Anwar, do you have any confidence? Like, for you, if you're hearing me give the leadership speech, if you're Texas, where's the leadership coming from? Is it your new school president that hasn't even survived? We're not getting into the protest discussion, but like, he's not even through that yet. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, there's so much going on. These people, like school presidents and athletic directors, have their own school jobs I don't know. Like, I don't have this. This feels almost like a rhetorical question. I'm like, where's all the leadership? And it may be the answer is there is none. And like, you know, what does a world look like when it has to be navigated without leadership?
Well, it looks chaotic. I mean, and again, we go back to basketball and just how chaotic that was. And that was a reflection of, because there just wasn't enough, you know, leadership at the time. It was, well, this conference is going to do this, but maybe this conference is going to do that. And again, you have some conferences canceling. You had UT was getting ready to tip off. Like, it was chaos. And as we're starting to get closer to the deadline, I think you're starting to see a little bit more of like, okay, well, what's going on? What's everyone doing? And, you know, all you see guys are doing is just saying nothing, trying to kick the can down the road as much as possible. But this is where, if you just had a quote unquote governing body that said like, okay, this, we make the ultimate decision here. And it's just not up to conferences to make these decisions. Because again, you'll hear something from Chris Del Conte. And then another week or two, you'll hear something that Bob Bowlesby says something. And Bowlesby's been all across the spectrum in all his comments, from, you know, it's not going to happen because students are going to be on campus, to yes, it's going to happen, to, you know, he's been everywhere. And, you know, other conferences, and then like ultimately the presidents are going to have to decide. And so at some point they're going to have to kick in and say, okay, well, this is what we're doing. But again, that becomes the gut check of, okay, we care about the students, but we're going to eliminate sports, but still keep kids on campus. Like, that's still a tough sell for me. It's a tough sell. To me, you got to be, you know, as much all chips in on this as possible. So yeah, it's a clear lack. And you know, and to their defense, this is unprecedented. You know, this is nothing that they've trained for. This isn't anything that you look at them and say, man, you should have all the answers. Like, if I'm being objective, it's hard for them to have all the answers for something that nobody could have ever accounted for or figured out. But I do agree with kind of what Dustin says. I think what we're going to see is the can just getting kicked down the road, with spring football being the last possibility. And I think what you're going to see is, you know, let's what the guys get back here on campus, start training camp, then see what happens. And if worse, cut out the three conference games, the non-conference games, and then see if you can start a season sometime in September. Then maybe if you can't start that season in late September, let's see if you can push it back to October-ish or so and see if you can kind of go from there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the can gets kicked down the road, but I'd be shocked if there's just an overall, just within the beginning of August, we just hear for sure this thing is canceled. Like, I think they're going to try to do this as much as possible because of all the ramifications, let alone the financial issues that will occur, and then all the other issues that would occur if you actually try to do it in the spring.
Well, and you're going to have these other sports by then that, you know what I mean? Like, college football would be announcing that it's not going on at a time when, by then, Major League Baseball and the NBA will have resumed, and the NFL presumably slows down for no man.
And so, there's probably going to be sports on campus that are ongoing, you know?
It's fascinating. Like, I don't
– volleyball and soccer and some sports like that.
I wanted to bring this up to Jason because we haven't mentioned it yet. But Anwar mentioned the last resort. Look, the way the college officials appear to be looking at this is they have to get a college football season in by the end of the academic year. So they don't want to do this in spring, but if it gets to August and it's like, hey, if we just wait a few more months, we've got a plan that we can forget about second or third or fourth waves. We think by then we'll have a plan that's similar to what the teams in Europe are doing, and it's going to cost a lot of money, but we'll be able to do, you know, constant testing, immediate results. We have a plan. Then they'll kick the can down the road as much as possible. That Lincoln Riley came out this week. This one's kind of funny to me. That he's the one that said, hey, spring football doesn't sound all that bad. Like, let's do it.
Weather's nice.
Jason, it sounded to me like a man with recruiting momentum, right? Like,
hey, he doesn't give a shit. He's on top of the world right now. He's like, hey, play whenever you can start tomorrow for all Lincoln Riley cares.
He's like, we'll play when we play. Not playing doesn't impact us because we are the five-time defending champions. It's like Liverpool in the Champions League. Like, they're out of the competition, but like the competition can't finish itself. So, like, for now, we just get to keep being the Champions League winners until at some point that it can't happen. And, like, they're the defending champions.
Hey, that's – I was about to say, I'm a defending fantasy football champion, and if we don't have an NFL season this year, which I don't – hey, whatever. I'm still defending champ until they play again. But
the trophy stays in your hands.
That's right. It's on my desk. You know, I thought that was interesting, and I don't know what his motivation was, but I don't think he's wrong. I mean, the idea of it being pushed back to spring to me seems fairly realistic at this point. But, you know, if you're Texas, I hadn't thought about the whole recruiting perspective of it, Ketch, until you just said that. But if you're Texas, you want this season starting on time.
From a recruiting
perspective, Texas needs this thing to start on time, and Texas needs – now, they've established some momentum over the last couple of months, but – the best thing that can happen for Texas, if we're talking a recruiting perspective, and I get that that's not what's important here, but if we're talking from that perspective, they need this season to start, and Texas needs to win and win big, and then, you know, they kind of crush some of Oklahoma's momentum and establish some of their own. So, yeah, I hadn't thought about it from that angle, but that's pretty interesting. Hey, Dustin, I like kind of the idea that you mentioned. I think it was Dustin mentioned maybe if they end up pushing the season back, cut out the non-conference games, maybe expand the playoff field. Hey, you know what? That sounds pretty good to me, even in a non-pandemic season. You know what?
It's what cut Major League Baseball was supposed to do, and they screwed it up.
Well, yeah.
I loved expanded playoffs and stuff like that.
Hell yeah, dude. The idea of cut the bullshit games against South Florida and you know, just that nobody really cares about. Yeah, the LSU game would be fun, of course. But, you know, if we can cut that out, and add, let's say, let's take the playoff field up to 16 even. I'm all for it, brother. I mean, do it this year and do it next year and just keep expanding that field and make it like the NCAA basketball tournament, man. So I could do without non-conference if that means we get more teams in the college football playoff and we get more excitement on the back end. Let's do it.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people trying to recover some money if they're
losing. Well, that's a whole other issue, yeah.
But, yeah,
but
I mean, that's a way to bring it in.
They'll bring it into the back end, exactly, yeah.
Add some really interesting high-stakes games on the back end. I mean, that's where a lot of these conferences kind of make their dough anyway.
Well, do you know what the college administrator told me, Dustin?
What?
He said – we have a short amount of time to figure this out, but maybe not if you buy a couple of months. No pun intended. He said, there's no fans in the stands, right? And I said, nope. And he goes, and the sidelines are going to be mostly empty, right? And I said, yep. And he said, sounds like a lot of billboard space available for sale. And I think that one of the things ongoing about this is, okay, well, if you're only going to have 25% of the people in the stands or no people in the stands whatsoever, what can you do immediately to offset some of that cash? What can you do in the form of sponsorships? You know how when we watch soccer or some other sports and they have, even in pro baseball, where the billboard's behind home plate,
yeah, uh-huh,
and you've got like a rotating banner of various advertisements. Like, I think one of the things that's probably being explored right now is how can they take advantage of technology so that, from a background standpoint, they can sell pieces of that background so that there's a Coke banner in the sideline behind Tom Herman, or you get what I'm saying? Like, you know how
you can put tarps though on the bottom row.
Exactly. You know? Like, there's a lot of ways to get potentially really interesting to just do whatever you can to try to mitigate some of the losses that are otherwise going to come. That's not going to save everything, but I think their heads are already there. And that's part of, like, why when you're juggling 100 balls in the air, like, it's hard to nitpick the person juggling all the balls in the air that they're not making eye contact with the crowd, right? Like, how come you don't make more? Because I got to watch all the balls in the air. So I feel like that on the most local level possible, these schools are thinking about all of these possibilities. There's just nobody showing the way. And Dustin, I ask you this question.
Hold on, can I just interject before you go to Dustin? One of the things, though, that I spoke to one of my sources, and Chris Del Conte has expressed behind closed doors, one of his concerns, and I think this might be something that other ADs are concerned about, is, look, the moment that they say there's no football and they have to admit that they're going to take that revenue loss, people got to lose jobs. And, you know, they will be if they say we've got to cancel football – there's a lot of people who work in the athletic department at UT who are just going to be unemployed. And I've heard, like, Chris Del Conte just does not want to do that. He doesn't want to be the guy who has to go and you know, and have a mass, you know, departure firings or having to let go of a lot of people, because at that point you just can't justify the salaries. You just can't justify having people having jobs, selling tickets if there's nothing to sell, you know, doing media relations if there's no media interviews or anything like that, doing administrative work where there's nothing to be done. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's another reason why, from what I'm hearing, that there is that hesitation because of that portion of it too.
It's fair, because, yeah, like you said, Onward, the moment they make that declaration, you start looking at the financial books and the money not coming in and the money going out. And
yeah, I got a buddy of mine that's in a relationship right now, and he doesn't want to have the call. He doesn't want to have the talk. He knows that the racial relationship's isn't going to end in marriage. He knows they're not going to end up together forever. He doesn't want her to be his official girlfriend, but he also doesn't like being alone. So he's just riding it out as long as he can without having the conversation. And that kind of sounds like what this is right now. Like, you know what's coming, but if you don't just talk about it, then at least maybe you can sleep that night, right? I'll make it through the weekend. Make it through the weekend. We got plans. So you're just going from weekend to weekend to weekend. At some point, though, that Stanford reality that hit yesterday, like, that's the cloud that won't go away. And I feel like we've all done a pretty good job of ignoring just how negative that cloud is. That even with a football season with 12 games in it on schedule, no fans in the stand means that the University of Texas probably takes, at a minimum, you know, just right off the top, you're talking 25 to 30% of its annual income gone, like that. That doesn't include any refunding that might take place, because we've seen soccer have to do that. Like, they're still delivering all of their package in terms of number of games, and they've given games, and they've let the networks in Europe get creative. They still had to give back some money. The networks were like, "This is not completely what we paid for." And I think the NBCs of the world would expect the same thing of college sports, to say part of what we pay for is the atmosphere and the fans and being able to zoom in on the LSU girl in the stands with the grumpy looking face. You know, like, the memes are why we're in this. We don't get all of that. They're going to want something back. I just, Dustin, as someone who's watching the Premier League finish its season, how do you – I know how I feel. How does it make you feel to watch this much chaos with what we cover, knowing that – you know what they're talking about, Anwar? Do you know what they're talking about in the UK right now with regards to soccer?
No.
Soccer! They're talking about the soccer! Like, they've moved on past testing. They've moved on past the scare that some team's going to have, like, a super cluster of numbers that's going to cause a team to fourth. They're talking about whether Mo Salah can catch Jamie Vardy for the golden boot. They're talking about who gets relegated. They're talking about the actual sport because they have figured out a process that works to such a degree. And Dustin, I'm not shitting. I'm not making these numbers up, am I, when I say they take about 2,000 tests per week.
Yeah.
And they're coming back a lot of weeks with zero positives. And I can't remember the last time they had a week where there was more than one positive. And so, like, I don't understand. I mean, I kind of get it. They're professionals and they're getting paid millions and they're grown. I kind of get it. But they're not even war. Like, they've moved. The coronavirus started at the same time for everybody. All of professional sports closed down at the same time for everybody. Professional sports aren't opening up at the same time for everybody across the world. And college athletics doesn't seem to have the first, like, it doesn't feel like they're within a 1,000-foot pole of being able to pull off what they're pulling off all over Europe and every single professional soccer league. We're talking thousands of players across of Europe, and they're not getting positive tests, and they're figuring this out, and they're delivering a product to their TV partners, and we just feel like such a clusterfuck. Go ahead and find me twice for this show.
And
so we're racking, hitting the dollar jar pretty hard this episode. Yeah.
There's a charity that will be thankful for this episode.
It's extremely frustrating in some ways to watch Premier League, but I remember getting super excited about Korean baseball leagues coming back, which they didn't start that long ago. They've already played 57 games, not 37 games. So they've almost played as many games as Major League Baseball plans on playing in its full season. And they just got started, I feel like, 2 months ago. Like, it's extremely frustrating to see these leagues able to execute, you know, having a season, having competition without any true worry or concern about positive tests or anything of that nature. I mean, the Japanese Baseball League is back. The Korean Baseball League's been going for a while. The Bundesliga came back early. The Premier League's going. It's really, really frustrating because it's like they are doing it. They've shown the way for a while now, and yet, you know, here we are, and it just can't get this thing under control.
But you know what, though? I will say this, and while I hear what you're saying, like, there's, you know, what's interesting, too, is that when you've heard about the cases of college kids coming down with it, you're not hearing about the deaths. You know, you're hearing about guys who are in the prime of their lives right now who get it, who are quarantined, who have moved on. And, you know, the one thing I said, you know, several weeks ago was, if we're going to have a college football season, if you want to have a college football season, you want to have sports, you know, whatsoever, you know, the word COVID-19 cannot be the boogeyman. Like, and if it is the thing that, you know, scares off everyone, then we won't have it. We won't be able to have it, won't be able to sustain it. This probably goes a little bit to what Alex was alluding to a little bit. I'm not going to go as far as Alex was concerning, but it there has to be, like, you know, our perception of it. If you want to have sports, our perception of it has to change a little bit. If it is like, oh my God, you have this, then there's just no way you can pull it off.
And the problem with that is there's not a consensus of, you know, like, there's not enough people in the position to come together and say, okay, this is just how we're going to have to go about this season. And we acknowledge the risk, but we don't think that, you know, it's anything to get extremely, you know, fearful of or whatever. I don't know if there are any decision makers out there willing to collectively kind of stick their neck out there and say that, because you make a good point on why it's, you know, not to veer too far off the track, but just kind of with the way things are going, you know, there's you are seeing these positive tests, but thankfully, you're not hearing any extremely negative stories come out of those positive tests with the students and things like that. But yeah,
have we even had a critical case yet across the country?
So.
No, out of all the tests that we've heard about guys who have, you know, LSU had a ton of people, and even Texas had
And Ed Orgeron did a radio interview this morning I was reading, and basically said, hey, we feel like this is under control. I mean, I don't know if that's coach speak or whatnot, but you know, I saw the other day Notre Dame, I think, tested 103 people and had
zero
all negatives. Yeah. So, I mean, there's, but then I think there was, I don't know, there was some other place that had North Carolina had to shut down yesterday because I think they had like 37 positives, whatever. But yeah, like Onward was pointing out, thankfully we haven't had that, oh my gosh, critical story come out of this. And that's something that, you know, these decision makers are going to have to weigh as these tests continue to come in and students return to campus and all that.
Let's go into parting shots. Like, there's no reason to adjust at this point and, like, pretend that we can shift direction. So we'll start to wrap this bad boy up. I don't know how you guys did it last week. I'll be completely honest. I barely remember last week from a Orange Bloods perspective. I think I blocked out the whole week as a whole out, period. Did y'all – it seems like we were doing the reverse order draft and Jason missed. So Jason should have had back-to-back picks where he had to go first based on we started with Alex and then went down the line. So, Jason, you're first up to bat today in terms of parting shots. We're going in reverse order today. Go.
Well, I wasn't prepared to go first. I wasn't even prepared for parting shots. That kind of came out of that. I was like, whoa, I wasn't
ready for
that.
We've almost been going like an hour.
I wasn't paying attention to the clock, I guess. Don't have much. I've had nothing like what you've gone through, Ketch, but I want to just erase
this.
I just, dude, I don't even want to get into it. It's like 10 different things, and I just want to erase this week from the calendar from my memory. It's been a shit week on several levels. Hey, work stuff's been fine though, but everything else has sucked. But don't have a whole lot work related to as far as parting shots. You know, I posted a note. It's funny. I posted last night a couple notes, recruiting notes on our message board. One was, hey man, I finally caught up with this receiver that Texas is really interested in. And there's some interesting backstory. And I thought I teased it well. And I said, I'll talk about it in the war room tonight, Thursday night, and 17 replies. And then I said, hey, Bryce Foster quote. That's my thread title. And it was a bit of a, I wouldn't say negative, but he basically said, there's a three schools that jump out in my mind, and Texas wasn't one of them. 98.
That's pretty negative, by the way, for the rest.
Well, but it's just negative. Funny, like the negative news, 98 replies on that thing. It's like, you know, he basically said, and it's nothing that I haven't been saying for months. He said, hey, you know, I'm open to all five, but Texas, A&M, and Oklahoma, and he goes, maybe Oregon, because it changes from day to day, but those are three that just kind of pop out in my mind. You know, listen, I've been saying that since like January, that Oklahoma was the team to beat there, and Texas trailed, and everybody crapped on me because other websites were saying, no, Texas, these other websites are saying Texas is a team to beat. And I'm like, dude, that's not what I'm hearing. And
nobody
and
ever goes back to those other websites, by the way.
And said, hey, you guys were way off on this. And
just for the record, you guys were wrong.
And dollar jar, swear jar. I need to start keeping tally on these. But anyways.
Official counter. You're good.
It was funny to me just this morning. I woke up and I had 23 notifications on, meaning people had replied or tagged me in every one, but I think one was on that Bryce Foster thread. So, you know, bad news. What are they, you know, bad news sells, I guess. I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, but people want to watch a train wreck. But don't panic yet, people. Listen, the only thing I can tell you about Bryce Foster that with confidence, and I've been saying this for months,
is that Texas isn't in the top two.
Texas isn't in the top two, but you know what? But he is not going to make a decision until he takes his visits. He's genuinely undecided. He's not going to decide till December 18th is what I was told by someone this week. And he's genuinely undecided. It's a pretty close race. Texas isn't where you want to be. Of course, you want to be the lead dog at this stage, but there is plenty of time and opportunity for this one to change. So don't hit the panic button yet. Now, if we're talking offensive line recruiting as a whole, that's a bit worrisome from a Texas perspective with the way things are with the Brockermeyers, maybe Savion Byrd, Bryce Foster, if he winds up elsewhere. You know, Texas is going to have to
Have a football season.
Well, they're going to have a football season, but even with that, they may have to have some backup options. But, you know, this is – don't panic just yet. None of these situations are in dire straits or unrecoverable, but not where Texas wants to be probably with its offensive line recruiting, obviously, if we're being objective and being honest. But, you know, don't throw in the towel yet on Bryce Foster or any of those other targets for that matter. And that'll be my parting shot.
You just confused me. I'm just going to move on. I don't know whether to be excited. I don't know whether to be depressed.
Somewhere in the middle. No,
I feel
not
like
excited.
You took me to both extremes and then shrugged your shoulders and went, hey, it's no
what
big
I'm
deal.
Saying is don't be overly depressed, as I guess it was how I'd characterize it. Yeah.
On the 1 to 10 scale of depression, a 4 or 5 is completely acceptable.
But don't put it at a 9. Yeah.
Yes, over Bryce Foster. That's completely fair. Yes,
okay.
Dustin, batter up.
I don't really have much, but speaking of batter up, it's been nice to watch some streams of sim games and get online and see some actual baseball being played. Hopefully they're able to execute that season. And hopefully, I mean, as we get into, you know, the second week of July, maybe by the end of this month, I mean, with NBA coming back and Major League Baseball coming back, maybe that can give us some hope for the horizon with those other sports that would be upcoming later in the fall. But other than that, it's just nice to see some sports actually happening or on the verge of happening in the U.S. And hopefully that can lift some spirits and give us some hope about the direction of those other things to come.
Mr. Richardson.
What I'll say is this. I would say that the lack of sports has actually made me start looking and watching other sports, which maybe this ends up being a benefit for some of the sports that aren't football. But I have on occasion just thrown in a soccer match and watched it from start to finish and been engaged. On this past Sunday, I watched a Formula One race from start to finish. I even watched qualifiers on that Saturday and then watched it on that Sunday, still trying to figure out all that damn stuff on the screen. But I had a friend who's kind of coaching me through it. I'm one of these guys that Dustin, when was that the last baseball strike? Was it like 94, 95, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that season, yeah.
Yeah, that's when baseball lost me. And like, I grew up as a baseball fan, and that was like the second strike within like, you know, 4 or 5 year period, and I was just done, and it lost me at that point. But I'm looking forward to potentially renewing my love for baseball, you know, within the next couple of weeks. So even though we don't have football, I'm going to be giving my attention to some of these other sports, and I hope we have football so I can just go back to being the football snob that I was. But and if not, man, I'm gonna be watching Formula One. Now, catch, I won't get into Formula One like you get into soccer. You know, that would take a few years, but it that would be kind of an interesting, you know, my sports on a dime and writing about Formula One every week. But that being said, that's probably my new thought process, new hobbies, is giving other sports a try until we know football will be back.
On a future podcast to be named later, I'm gonna pick your brain about this Formula One thing, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole today.
It was pretty entertaining, I have to admit. It was a hell of a finish too. And you'd like it, Ketch. They actually got a real prominent brother who's a Formula One racer. Dude, you would love it.
You know what that means.
Yeah, you know what it means.
Apparently I would have a favorite driver and didn't even know
you already do. I'll send you the info.
I think I know who that guy is anyway before today. Alex.
Yeah, I'm with Dustin and Anwar. I'm I I'm excited about sports starting back up for a ton of, I mean,
we could have some daily gambling going on.
Yeah, man. Like, I'll have daily, I'll have DFS, and just like Dustin said, you know, fingers crossed, no whammies. You know, if these guys get things up and running and things look good and looks like they're organized well, it bodes well for everything. It just bodes well for getting back to, getting back to normal. It feels good that maybe something will be getting back to normal here towards the end of the month. So super excited about all that. And also I'm with Onward. I haven't watched is Formula One a lot different than NASCAR? I watched a NASCAR race after all the kerfuffle, you know, that was caused with stuff there. And like, I watched a race and I never watched one before. I was like, this is actually, you know, it's kind of entertaining. Maybe it's just because I haven't seen anything in so long, but I guess Formula One's kind of like NASCAR, or is that where they don't go around in a circle and they do?
Yeah, you know, NASCAR is more of on a track like that, more controlled track. Like the Formula One is kind of more through, you know, some of them do have tracks, some of them do have streets, but you know, it's not just going to like Daytona per se and going in a circle all the time.
Maybe Formula One would be more entertaining. You know, I mean, going around in a circle does get a little old.
Well, it's an international sport, so like at least like everything you're watching is usually like top of the line, like Monte Carlo. Yeah,
they got a race this weekend
someplace too. In Italy or something.
Yeah, they got like Ferrari's like a big one, and like it's
Mercedes,
like the top,
Mercedes
yeah,
is good too right now.
Top brands of cars making these badass engines and cars that go really.
I think
fast.
You would like it, Alex. I think there's
that
a race
like a better
this weekend.
Product. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I think there's a race this weekend. There's a Red Bull race you probably would like.
We'll make sure to
share the details in Slack. I'll make sure to go give it a look. I guess the other things I would say was just one, with all these recruiting updates and stuff that Jason's been giving and that we've been putting out on the site, like, if people on the Texas staff just listen to this, can Texas please Texas needs to start recruiting more offensive linemen. I don't understand why there aren't more.
They're trying.
And then
this and then, just in, breaking news.
Yeah. My final thing is about electricians and plumbers. I've had yet another plumbing emergency at my house. I came home from a 4th of July trip to a plumbing emergency, standing water in my house, fucking slab leak and after this slab leak, I will not have any money to afford to pay the swear jar for that most recent swear that I just gave. But
I'll take your swear today. So whoever's keeping official score, give me Alex's for no other reason than plumbing. Yes.
But I just these plumbers, and thank God for them. I really do wish there was a way that they could get in and find these issues without cutting so many holes in the wall. It's the same with electricians. I mean, I get it. The plumbing's in the wall, but man, they leave your house and they leave you with the bill. Then after this, now you're, you know, if you don't want every bug in the world crawling in your house, you can look it up. There are horror stories of the things that could crawl in your house whenever you have these big, big open holes in the walls. I mean, people talk about snakes coming in and just all kinds of stuff. You don't want to be leaving open holes in your house too long. So it becomes an automatic thing of getting the drywall people out here. Or maybe what I'm trying to do, like, I'm just saying, I'm going to figure out, I'm getting on YouTube and I'm figuring out how to do drywall on my own, because this is the second time it's happened. My solution though is simple. Why do houses not come like pre-made where there are important manifolds in the plumbing, or there are important spots or access spots you can get to? I know that some places have like little access holes you can pull out, but why don't home builders just build homes where there's access built in to certain key parts of the plumbing and electrical systems, to where if, you know, you don't have to keep just, you know, cutting into the wall and drywalling over it and doing all this stuff. It seems like such an easy thing to build in. Just build a little mechanism like a little handle or a key or something that just opens up when the plumber comes. At least he can start out by looking there. And then if he needs to get to some super wacky place where he can't just go through the top of the wall in the attic, then you cut into the wall. But this stuff where they just pretend like it's like no willy-nilly, like just exploratory exploration to identify where this leak is coming from, just holes everywhere. And it's not like they kind of ask you before they start cutting the holes. They say, you might if you cut this hole, it's going to cost you a bunch of drywall. Like, not complaining. I'm just saying there needs to be a better solution to this. And my solution and my proposition is the home builder should make access points more easy in these critical areas of the home to where you don't have to keep on, you know, cutting holes and re-drywalling them. So that's my parting shot to all you home builders out there.
That was a kinder, gentler, considering the situation, parting shot. Is it? Are you just out of energy?
Has it been sapped it's out that of damn you? Swear jar.
Yeah,
it's neutered Alex.
Yeah. And no, I'm also just a little bit depressed knowing that I'm gonna have to spend the day looking at how to look in this stuff like joint compound and figure out how the hell to do this.
Yeah, but dude, it ain't easy.
At least I'm talking drywall, man. Well, I'm gonna have to figure something out.
You gotta float all that stuff. Good. I mean, I've never done it, but good luck to you, dude. Let me know how that goes.
The good news for the rest of us may be that if at any point in future years we need someone to do some drywall work for us,
there you go.
You may have Alex on speed dial.
If there's no football, that will be our new company. Actually,
I was going to say he may be the leader doing drywall of work. Drywall.
Be doing drywall podcast.
Oh, and he'll have to lead, right? Because he'll be the expert after having watched all the YouTube videos. I don't have much of a parting shot, honestly. I kind of reiterate where Jason's coming from. The last week, it's just been something else on a personal level. And following a couple of weeks ago on a really trying week on the professional level, and like I don't know where to turn to. Like last week, I was supposed to be taking a few days off, and people were like, "Why are you on Orange Bloods?" And it's like, because I felt like Richard Gere, an officer and a gentleman. It was like, I've got nowhere else to go. I've got nowhere else to go. And it feels like Anwar's my Lou Gossett. Like, I don't know. Like who is my Lou Gossett in this situation? I don't know. Maybe it's like Drunk Randoke, who's like, I want his DNA? Not his DNA. He wanted his DNR. What's the thing that you give when you quit in Air Force pilot
DNRs
training?
Do not resuscitate. Certainly wasn't DNA. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what the...
He's like, I want it. He's like, I can't. I got nowhere else to go. That's how I felt last week on Orange Bloods. Supposed to be away from Orange Bloods, but back on Orange Bloods because the threads on Orange Bloods are safer than the real world sometimes. Real quick, story time. Did I ever tell you guys the story about me lecturing the 90-year-old woman at the Walgreens?
Yeah, not in grave detail, but
the
yeah.
lady just let this poor kid have, she had a coupon. Like, people just got to be nicer to people. This woman went into a Walgreens. She's like 90 years old. She reminded me, have you ever been to the Draft House? And you know, they have like the Ann Richards promo.
To shut up when the movie's on.
Have the, like their various don't talk during the movie promos. And the Draft House has one where there's like a 100-year-old woman that goes there. And she's like, stop talking because I ain't blah, blah. And then her words just like, we're not finished, we're for now. And then you don't really know what she's saying, but she's 100 years old and she knows she's mad. And you know, she doesn't want you talking in the theater. This woman kind of, I just put her at 90. She kind of reminds me of the Draft House promo lady. And she brought in a 6-month-old coupon that the system wasn't taking. And the kid, I was at a different register, and the kid told her, I need to call my manager because I'm not allowed to override the system, but maybe he'll accept your 6-month-old coupon. And he was being really nice to her. And she goes, you're just terrible. You're a despicable person. She's like screaming at him. And I'm with the other Walgreens person and we're just trying to stay out of the way. And then she's just yelling at him. And I could tell the kid was feeling bad. And then I went and I got in my car and I was parked right out in front. And I just stared at that old lady. And I thought about how rude she had been. And then I thought, what kind of coward had I just been? Like, you know, we watch these videos and we see people get picked on and stuff like that. And then it's like, where was the person holding the camera, like defending the person that needed help or whatever? And I was that person. Like, I could have said something, but instead I chose to be quiet. And here I was in my car, ruined the moment that had just occurred earlier where I didn't just tell that woman, stop yelling at that kid. So then I got pissed because I was having a really bad day. And I got out of the car And I went back into the store and she was just turning around. And I said, ma'am, you need to apologize to him. He didn't deserve that. Nothing he did deserved that. Nothing he could have done deserved that. I was like, we have to start being better to each other. And then I pointed at her and said, be a better person. And then I left. And then I came back like 2 hours later and two of the people at the Walgreens place clapped for me. And it was the highlight of my week.
Oh, we didn't hear the clapping part.
Well, it was the two people. It was the kid that got yelled at and the woman that was checking me out. It wasn't like a standing O or anything.
Hey, somebody clapped for you, though.
It was like a golf clap. And then
no one's clapped for me lately.
And they were like, thanks for like doing that. And then I asked the kid, I was like, man, because he was handling it like a pro. I was like, how many times does that happen? He was like, a lot. He's like, you just get used to it. And I was like, you get used to people calling you a despicable human being? And he goes, you do if you work at the front counter at Walgreens. And I said, well, I'm sorry that happened to you. And then I left and I never went back to that Walgreens because it was in Houston and I don't live there. For myself and Alex and Anwar and Dustin and Jason, thank you for listening to the Ticket City Podcast. 1-800 sold out. There's going to be tickets, I think, soon. We think. So 1-800 sold out. Once the tickets can be sold, just remember, they've been with us the entire way. Let them take care of your ticket needs. They'll be back and at it as soon as they possibly can. We'll talk to you next week. Later.